Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another broadcast on When Christians Speak Talk Radio today. Amen. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. Should be joined, hopefully, with Reverend Robin White on Friday Night Joy. Amen. We're going to continue our conversation, just trying to encourage somebody. Amen. Today, on with all that's going on, people need to be encouraged. They need to hold on and know that God is involved with everything and not give up. Amen. So we're going to do that. Amen. We're just going to run a couple of tests, make sure that we are on properly. And I believe that we are. Amen. But we are excited about what God is going to do today. Amen. Amen. We're excited about what God's going to do. Amen. Real quick, I do want to go over a couple of things that we got coming up. His Abounding Grace with Ms. Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy, amen, with Ray and Prince is every Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Ray is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge for Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. My monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Boat in the Vehicle, Reverend Obina Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwing, amen, is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Taker with the Body of One, Reverend Eric, and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elston Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Amen. It's a free conference call number. The number is, dialing number is 712-770-5505. Pastor's code is 732-499. Again, the dialing number is for the free conference call. It's 712-770-5505. Code is 732-499. And this is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Amen. I also want to encourage you to go and check out our website, overcrossingspeak.com. You'll find a little bit more information about us and different hosts, along with the ability to listen to some other broadcasts that we have done before in the past. We've been doing this particular broadcast since 2013, amen. So God has continued to bless the ministry, and we are continuing to move forward with it, amen. And we are grateful for what the things that God is doing with the ministry, amen, to have a listening base in probably over 137 different countries, amen. So whoever is listening today from whatever country, we are praying for you. Of course, we love you. Amen. And you can get, if you have a desire to get in contact with us, you can contact us by going to whenchristianspeak@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Amen. So with that being said, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Amen. Amen. Father God, we come today first to say thank you for your many, many blessings, God. Thank you for a brand new day, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our opportunity to praise you, to worship you, to adore you, to honor you, God, you know, to leap for joy for the things that you are doing and have done in our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to just worship you in spirit and in truth, God. And I thank you, over and over again for how many times you might have spared us life, for all every storm that you brought us through, God, Lord, for every valley you brought us out, Lord Jesus, for every situation you were right there. That's why we want to just praise you. For this we give you praise, God. We just want to thank you today for all that you are doing in our life. You are awesome. You are a wonder, God. You are the great I am. We just want to bless your name today. We just want to bless your name today. So we pray for this broadcast, God. We pray for those that are listening, Lord Jesus. We pray that you will come and have your way. We pray for Reverend Robin, God. We thank you for her being on the line today, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You have given both of us the word to say to your people, again, to encourage somebody with all the stuff and all the craziness that are happening all around us, Lord Jesus. So we know that there truly is a bomb in Gilead. We know that there, you alone can fix it, Lord Jesus. No one else can do it, Lord Jesus, but you, not the president, not the Congress, but you can, Lord Jesus. So we're praying today and we submit ourselves unto you and say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with all your might and glory, and you set the atmosphere. You set up the prayer and ask him, you, Lord Jesus, remind us of the price that was paid for us on the cross. You bring correction. You bring forgiveness to those that need it, Lord Jesus. You bring healing and delivery. You don't want to break down strongholds and tear down strongholds, Lord. Lord Jesus, you are the one that makes the ground fallow again. We need you more so than ever before. But we will continue to count on all joy as we go through our life, our day-to-day thing, and count it all joy when the temptations and the trials come in manifold. We will continue to count it all joy, for we know in whom we believe and we trust you, and we believe you. We trust you today, Lord Jesus. We have faith in you, Lord Jesus. We know that you are well able to keep those things that we have submitted into your hands. So, Holy Spirit, we say thank you in advance. Thank you for every healing that will take place. Thank you in advance for every deliverance that will take place. Thank you for relationship being restored, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sins being forgiven in advance, Lord Jesus. Thank you for families being reconnected. Thank you for understanding coming back and unity coming back, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these things that being done, every miracle that you have performed, Lord Jesus, to be performed, not because of the broadcast, because of you, Lord Jesus. You get all the glory. So we thank you in advance, Lord Jesus. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen,
amen,
and amen, amen. Again, I want to reach out and say thank you, everybody, for joining us today. This is Friday Night Joy, amen. Amen. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. I'm joined by Reverend Robin White. Amen. We're going to continue on our topic of talking about joy. I don't want to take up too much time. I want to turn it over to Reverend Robin so she can get us started. Amen. So we're coming from the script, I believe, Reverend Robin, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Psalms 51. Amen. There's a lot of things that we're going to talk about, but we just want to encourage somebody today. You know, we don't want you to hold your head down. We don't want you to be discouraged with all the stuff that's going on all around you in the world, in society, and politics, and all this other stuff. But focus and remain focused on the Lord and remind yourself that He is your joy. Amen. Reverend Robin.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you for having me on the line with you this evening, Reverend Ray. And I say good evening and hello to everyone who may be listening in. And as Reverend Ray has said, that we're going to take a look at Psalm 51. And I guess the backdrop, I mean, Psalm 51 is a very popular psalm, and it is referred to often. And the background, however, of Psalm 51 is based on a transgression of David. And it is his transgression that he had with Bathsheba. Now, I know that, you know, this is, you know, I would talk with Reverend Ray, and I was like, it's Friday night joy, you know, but it is truly, and especially during these times and the things that are all happening, is that I think one thing for me, which I think, and for me, stands out for Psalm 51, is when he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because sometimes we all get there, And sometimes we have things that are overwhelming to us, and we have some things that are heavy upon us, in which we actually need to beseech God to, but take me back to that place. Take me to that place of that joy that I had of my salvation. Let me return to that first place of love with you, where I was, the freedom was amazing, your presence was awesome, and we walked together, you know, to that place where there was nothing impeding the flow of the relationship, and there was just such a joy in my salvation, my joy in your having coming to rescue me, my joy in having someone who loves me more than anyone to be ever present with me. You know, return to me that joy, you know, that the rudiments of the world, the cares of the world may have stolen from me, but God, I want to be constantly in that place, and we can all, I'm sure, think back and know of that place that we once were, where we had that joy, that unspeakable joy, where we could walk and we want to tell everybody that we encounter about Jesus. And sometimes as we go through our walk and things occur, life occurs, we sometimes lose that joy. And in this passage in Psalm 51, David says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And when we look back upon the background of Psalm 51, which can be found in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, you know, it was David's transgression that was just life-altering, not only for him, but to others as he moved to cover his transgression. You know, knowing fully that there is nothing that is hid before God. Nothing. It wasn't about, it didn't even matter, I think, at that time if it was hid from man or not. You know, because he involved other men to get his deed done. I mean, but he could not hide from God what he had done. You know, and this was a time, if we were to, we're not going to read all of 2 Samuel 11 and 12, but I suggest that you do, because it's really a powerful and impacting story, which gives a lot into the insight of God. But David, at this time, he actually should have been off at war, but David is home. And we know that David had been called to be a soldier. He had been called to be king. He had been called to be a leader of men. He had been called to be the one to lead the 12 tribes of Israel. He had been called to a position where he was in the forefront. But this at this particular time, he was found to be at home and not off at the war where the kings were. You know, and during one evening, and we don't know what's going on with David, that he's taken a, that it doesn't say why he was not at war. You know, he had taken a sidestep and he had remained home. It doesn't really specify why. But one evening when he was home, he sees a beautiful woman bathing in the evening time, you know, on one of the roofs. And he inquires as to who she is. And David actually got full disclosure as to who the woman is. You know, she's Bathsheba, she's married, and her husband is at war. In other words, David, where you should be, you know. But yet and still, he sends for her, he sleeps with her, and he sends her home. You know, and later then she reports that she's now pregnant. And at that moment, David goes into a full operation of cover-up. Full operation. He sends a note to Joab, who is in his stead at war, and he requires that Uriah comes home from the war. So he gets Uriah home, and he attempts on a couple of evenings to get him drunken up with the hopes that he will go home and sleep with his wife. And therefore, if he were to do that, it would be like, oh, it's not my child, but it's Uriah's child. You know, but Uriah, being an upstanding man that he was, he was like, I cannot go and be with my wife and enjoy the things of home when my fellow soldiers are still out fighting and dying on the battlefield. So with that, knowing that Jeriah was firm on that stance and that he would not even go in to see his wife, he sends Jeriah back home to the back, not back home, but back to the war with a note to Joab. Actually, Uriah carried his own death sentence back to the war with him, because in the note is at Acts that Joab placed him in the hottest of battles and to ensure that he was killed. And subsequently, Uriah was killed. And then subsequently, David, after Bathsheba's time of mourning, he marries her. Now, this is all that David has done. And it has not gone unnoticed to God, because God knows and sees everything. And David was the chosen man of God. He was actually has been referred to as a man after God's very own heart. So he had an expectation, and not that this came as a surprise, but he could not let the one whom he had chosen to come to a position to let this go unnoticed. So he sends the prophet Nathan to confront David with regard to his sin. And all of this is detailed in chapter 12. I mean, but once in 2 Samuel chapter 12, but what I want to read for you is 2 Samuel 12:9. And it says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Because that's going to be key when we get down to reading Psalms 51. It says, you have done evil in his sight. You see, because it didn't matter who David had done wrong before, man around him, because David is king. There's no one who is in a higher position than him. And they can do nothing to him. They can say nothing to him, you know, even though they were a participant in what was happening, because he was king. But this king had to answer to someone who was truly King of Kings and who truly yet is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is an answering that has to come, but the answering does not have to go unto man. It says further in 12:9, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and has taken his wife to be thy wife and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, with this evil, you've already done the evil of sleeping with this married woman. You've done the evil of arranging to have a blood placed on the children of Ammon, when actually this blood lies right at your doorstep, because this is something that you arranged. This is what you did. And so now we get into Psalms 51. This is where David is. You know, his sin is right out. It's open. He's totally exposed. And he comes before God, and this is where he is. And he says, have mercy upon me. And this is where in Psalms 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. So this is the place where now David finds himself. He is heavy with what he's done. He acknowledges what his transgression. You know, when he comes and he says, my sin is ever before me. But we can thank God and we can bless God that the things that we do, our transgressions, and just to for definition purpose, to transgress means to go beyond the limits set or prescribed. And we have all, because Scripture has already said that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have all, at some point or another, gone beyond the limits set or prescribed. Because we know the limits, and we know how far we should and should not go, and we truly are aware when we go beyond those limits. And so when he said his sin, it is a violation against God. That's what the sin violates God. It has nothing to do with man. You know, so that's why he comes and he says, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." You know, so he is totally aware, you know, of where he is. And truly, and actually, before there is actual an outward transgression, there is an inward violation of truth. You see, because those things that are in our minds, if we allow them to stay there, they can truly manifest outward. And so it moves from beyond just being in our mind to being a transgression. And in Matthew 5:28, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You see, because the transgression has already began to occur within you. And that's where it says the sin lies within. You know, and that's why it comes to the point that if we don't handle it on the inside, and the only person who can help us handle it on the inside is God. See, so if we don't handle those things that begin to build up on the inside of us, they would truly become transgressions on the outside. You know, and in Hebrews 9:14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And we all come to a place where we need our conscience to just be purged of dead works, because that's where David was when he found himself falling into this encountering and going into this transgression. He needed his mind to be purged. He was already someplace where he should not have been. We don't know all that was going on with David that he was home, but he allowed things to just come up into his mind and then act upon it. And in Ephesians 4:22-24 says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, so a lot of things that occur inside. You see, but the whole thing is that once these things are inside and we don't deal with the purging of them on the inside by the only one who can, we would be in the same place where David found himself. David's conscience was forever reminding him of his sin, convicting him of his sin, condemning him of his sin. It was heavy upon him. And when he began to come into Psalm 51, and he comes and he says, "Have mercy upon me." You know, he knew to call out according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tenderness, blot out my transgressions. So he was at that place where he needed to be restored unto the joy of his salvation, to be restored into the newness of that relationship that he and God had. So, because we're talking here with David before this situation even came, that David's mind was so much, and his heart was so much for God, when Saul was coming after him, and when Saul was placed right before him where he could have killed him, David would not do anything to harm Saul because he knew that it was not what God would have for him to do. He was like, he knew that it wasn't his position to do that. I mean, he had a heart and a mind that was after God. So we don't know what, it doesn't really say all that had happened between that point and that David, who's whole thought was, you have this man, Saul, who is pursuing you. He's delivered into your hands, but your first thought is that I cannot touch God's servant, that he had that much respect that he would not transgress. And remember that transgress means to go beyond limits set or prescribed, because it wasn't for him to go forth and do anything, but it was for God. And he had a respect and a love and a heart for God that he wouldn't transgress God, that he wouldn't go beyond what he should what he should do. You know, so when we get back to Psalms 4, and this is David now talking to God, because he's like, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You know, so we have to look at this, because for a surety, there were others who knew exactly what David had done. He actually had others help him, you know. He had others help him in the cover-up. He had others help him get the woman to him. So, but it was like, you know, whatever with you all and man. But I know the one, it is God, that I have sinned and done an evil before, that thou mightest, you know, even in that sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know, so, and David comes here, that is his confession. God already knows. You know, no, did David go into specifics of all that he did? No, he didn't need to, because Nathan, the prophet, had already come, because God had shared it with him, and he had ran down the whole plan, the whole act of transgression, the whole act of cover-up, and the whole act of bringing Bathsheba into his house as a wife. God knew it all. Everything, you know. And so when we can come before, and he knew he can come before to God with our confession, and with his confession, he was just speaking back what God already knew. He had come to the point where he was so heavy laden in his mind, but he knew the mercies and the loving kindness of God, that he could just come to him with the confessions of where he was, that God would meet him right there. And he was in a great inner turmoil, because there was a breach in that relationship. And that's why, you know, I can always say that Psalms 51, the theme is restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore that, God. I come to you. I'm beseeching your mercies. I'm beseeching your tenderness. I'm beseeching your loving kindness. Everything that I have done has been before your sight, and you know it all. But I need you to restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I have allowed so many different things to have occurred in my life, and I have participated willingly. I have gone forth with my own plans, but God, I know these things have been evil before your sight, and I just come before you. I mean, he goes on, and he says unto God, you know, in Psalm 51:6, he says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know, he is just constantly beseeching God, just constantly beseeching God. But I want to read Psalms 32, a portion here, and I have a really bad storm going on outside my window, and hopefully I won't lose any power, but I don't know if you all can hear the thunderings, but I enjoy the thunderings. But we bless God. We're going to read in Psalms 32. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You know, David was trying to get to this place where he can just do his confessions unto God and return himself to a place where there is no guile in him, that he's returning and he's cleansing and he's purging the heaviness from him. He's going before God with all that, you know, what has happened. And I know, God, that this has been before you, and before you have I sinned and done this thing, this evil. It is before you. And, you know, he's coming to restore himself. You know, when it comes to the word restore, it means to bring yourself back to a place from which you were one time, but you need to get back to that. And it says that, you know, I'm in Psalms 32, and it says in 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old. You know, and that comes into play further down in Psalm 51. When we keep silent and we don't bring our confessions unto God, those things come in and begin to do waxing upon us. And it makes our bones just become dry inside because you don't have that spring flowing up. You don't have that river flowing, you know. And it comes here and it says here that for day, it says, when I keep silence, my bones wax old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to drought of summer. You see, when we hold these unconfessed things in, you know, we have to, they do a drying all the way down to our bones within. You see, because we just have to keep and keep ourselves open before God as to where we are. Is that you, Reverend Ray? So that he and do a work within our lives so that he can come in and give us that living water that can just bubble up inside us and keep all of our internal everything all moist, you know. And that is just because God is the only one who can do anything about our sin, you know. And you know, the wages of sin are death, and he's the only one who can do anything about our and our consciousness of sin. You know, not man cannot do anything for us. You know, we can transgress and we can transgress before man. And I tell you, man is the one who is going to beat you down to a pulp. The same ones who will walk with you and call you a friend. When you get into a midst of transgression, there is no grace, there is no mercy, you know, there is no love. It's just the rocks began to come out, you know. But not so with God. It is not so with God. You know, he is the one who can restore unto us joy, can restore unto us when we've been beat down. He's the one who can lift us up. He's the one who can raise our head. He's the one who can rebuild our confidence in him. That is who our God is. So when he comes, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, that is the theme of 51. Yes, I've transgressed. Yes, I've done this evil in thy sight. But God, through your tender mercies, through your loving kindness, but God, come, Lord God. And he says in verse 6, it says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know, we don't want to be the one that's referenced in 2 Timothy 3:7 that says we're forever learning but never coming into the fullness of truth. You know, we want to come into that fullness and truth, you know, because it says to in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know, that we desire to have truth because as we have that truth in us, and walking in the will and the purpose and the plan of God and being in a right place and relationship with us, you know, he can make us to know wisdom. And if we have that truth, then we can act out that wisdom, because wisdom is actually the ability to be able to operate in truth. It is the prudence that's given you with the truth of what we have, then wisdom can follow it. You know, so we just have to beseech God for all of that, because we don't want to be forever learning of the things of God and never coming into the fullness of truth. You know, but see, because David, the one after God's very own heart, he had learned the truth of God, and he found himself in a separate space from that with all the heaviness due to his transgression, and he knew he had to get back to a place where he could be restored. And I think that is the blessing part, is that when we are at these places, when we don't have joy, when we feel the emptiness, when I mean, and And no one, I don't think, should feel badly about that, because the rudiments of the world, the cares of the world, some decisions that we make, some places that we find ourselves, rightfully so, it may have been of our own doing. But yet and still, we need to go back unto God and say, restore me unto that joyful place. I come back and I'm not going to keep my mouth closed, but I'm going to open my mouth unto the confessions of where I am. I'm going to open my mouth of the confession unto you of what you already know, and I'm going to believe in your loving kindness. I'm going to believe in your love. I'm going to believe in your mercies, and I'm going to trust, Lord God, that what you want more than anything is an open, free-flowing relationship between the two of us. You know, he comes and he says in verse 7, Psalm 51, verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop. He knows that he needs to be cleansed, and I shall be cleansed. He says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, he knows that I need to be cleansed of where I am. I need to be purged of where I am. I need to have my mind renewed from where I am. He says in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, you know, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Yes, you have been heavy upon me. Yes, you know, I'm feeling separated. Yes, my bones are waxed old and they're brittle and they're broken. But he says, make me to hear the joy and the gladness. Make me to hear it, Lord God. He says, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquity. You see, because we need to be able to come to God In a way that, and we are thankful that we have the blood of Jesus that covers us, that we can go before him. You know, that he doesn't see our sins, but he sees all of his blood of his son that has been shed for us. You know, and he comes in and he's able to, you know, as David here is saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, when we get to those places where we're dry and we don't have that joy and we have this lackluster, you know, it's those times that God needs to clean our hearts, clean our minds, because, you know, our heart and our mind got some stinky thoughts going on, and it's just running between one another. You know, and he says, come in to renew that right spirit in me. Renew me to a place, Lord God, that I'm in a right place with you, that my spirit is connected with you, and my nutrients and what's going through my heart and what's going into my mind, that it's being stifled and sent through the spirit. So I'm being cleansed and I'm being purged and I'm having my joy renewed. I am excited about you. I'm excited about what you're doing, that it doesn't matter what it looks like, that you've restored me. So I know that you're all powerful over everything that is surrounding me, because you are creating in me a clean heart and you're renewing the right spirit within me. And my focus is on you and what you're going to do, not what the world is saying. It's, you know, not the devastation that I see, because I'm going to be looking now with the right spirit within me. So that means my spirit is looking for spiritual things, and the spiritual things I know well surpasses what this world has. So we need to be in that place where he says in verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And it's basically duplicative one of the other, because if we are cast not from his presence, then that means that we will always have the Holy Spirit with us. You know, there is the same thing restated twice. When he says in 12, this is what I think is the theme, is restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, what a blessing. You know, he says, if I can just be restored to that place. Because when we're not at the place where we have the joy of salvation, We cannot do what verse 13 7. We cannot teach transgressor thy ways. We cannot have sinners converted unto me. If we can't walk with the joy, how can we tell someone that there is joy? So he's like, restore unto me so that I can do these things where I can help my fellow man, because I know what it means to have my conscience beating me down and burdening me down with my wrongs and where, with my transgressions and with my sins and where I have failed and where I have missed the mark and where I have gone beyond limits that are clearly set. I know what it is, but until I can get that heavy burden lifted from me, until I can get that heavy weight off of me that only you can do, God, by restoring me unto the joy of my salvation, I'm unable to go forth, Lord God, to teach transgressor the way out, because I haven't gotten that way out. I'm still heavy burden, you know. But God, if you would just uphold me with the freeness of your spirit, then, Lord God, I'm in that right place with you, and then you've come in and you've purged my mind of dead works, and you have come in, and I'm now upheld by your free spirit, and I'm experiencing your love and how much you love me, that then I can share that with others and I can convert others unto you, because I have the joy of what you've done in spite of me, in spite of my wrongdoings, and in spite of how I've failed you, because it doesn't even matter what man think about me and how man think I fail, but what's more important is that I have failed you, Lord God. So I just want to be restored unto you. And if that's just a blessing, and you know, we're doing Friday Night Joy, and so the joy is that God is your restorer. God wants you to be full of joy. God wants to uphold you in the freeness of his spirit. That's what he wants. He, you know, he says, just come and confess yourself to me. Speak loudly. Don't hold those things in. You come out. You know, I'm already aware. Just come out and just speak to me. And it's before God, and God only do you need to seek forgiveness. He is the only one who can restore inner peace within you. Man cannot do that for you, but only God can. So I thank God for Psalms 51, and it's something that is that read all the time. We have to just do a constant check on ourselves and just loudly give our confessions unto God. It says here in Psalms 51:14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Because he was surely, it wasn't the Ammonites that had killed Uriah, it was him. He says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. I mean, return unto that place where he saved you. I mean, we just return to that joy of knowing that my Savior has come for me. And he says, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. If we come to God in that place, if we come to God with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart that moves beyond what I've done, beyond the transgression, but it moves to a place that, God, I did this before you. I went beyond the bounds and the limits that you set. God, this is my sin is forever. It is before me. But, Lord, I have sinned before you and you alone. When we get to that place that the transgression that we did, that we went into, Lord, that it is now just as displeasing to us as it is to God, and that we are contrite. Our heart is broken. broken because of this thing. It is broken because it wasn't pleasing unto God. So, and it is you, God, that I most want to be pleased with. It is you, God, that I want you to be pleased with me. And I'm coming, I'm broken because I've broken in our relationship. You know, my heart is broken because we're not in that fullness of joy with one another, you know, and it's just a place that God wants to restore that joy, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation, no matter what, that we can have that joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is truly our strength, and God knows that. He knows that the joy of Him is our strength. The joy of a restored relationship with Him, that is our strength. We need that in order to make it. We need it in order to soar above the rudiments of the world, to soar above things that come into our lives, to soar above the grief, you know, to soar above the economic deficiency, to soar above the wrongs that may be done unto us. Because if we can get into the joy of the Lord, and He cast us not away, and that He's upholding us with His free spirit, you know, then we can float, we can rise above all of the things that are occurring. We can rise above how man wants to condemn us to a hell that they don't even have to place us in, but they think they can throw rocks and condemn us to something. But if we have God, then we can soar above all of those things, that it doesn't matter what someone else thinks about me. God, are you and I okay, God? Are we okay? And as long as God and I and God and you and your personal relationship, as long as you're okay with God and God is okay with you, then all is truly well. And you can just have your joy with Him, and that He can just uphold us with the freeness of His spirit. And we can just make it through this earth, through this walk, through this temporary space that we are in. We can make it through simply riding on the joy of the Lord and His strength. So I just thank God for this psalm, because David has come from a place, this place, and what he has done and what he has done with Bathsheba. He was in a place. He was in a pickle, you know. And the whole thing is that God knows where each and every one of us is. What He wants us to do is to come into an acknowledgement ourselves of where we are, and to open our mouths unto confession unto Him, because He desires to keep a flowing relationship with us. He wants to uphold us. He wants us to walk in a joy of being in a relationship with Him, a joy of communing with Him, of joy of His salvation and deliverance. He wants us to walk in that. But sometimes the cares of the world, the things that we've done, you know, it comes and it tries to overtake us, but not so. Not so. Whatever the situation is, whatever that may be heavy burden, whatever that may be coming and trying to steal your joy, give it to God. Cast that burden upon Him. Open your mouth so that your bones don't wax old. We just got to keep it before His face. Keep it there. And let Him come in and cleanse our heart and cleanse our mind, and to just restore us unto that place. Because that is what He desires to do. He desires to be in that relationship, and He wants us to be joyful in that relationship, that He can come in and do a thing with our mind so that we can truly know that we serve a living, powerful God. We serve a God who is in charge, and we serve a God who has authority. And not only does He have authority, but He's given that authority unto us. So He doesn't want us to be in a place of heaviness, but He wants us to be in that freeness of spirit, that we can recognize that God has given me authority so I can speak to this mountain and can be assured that by the authority that He has vested in me, that I can speak to it, and it must be moved, and it shall not fall upon me, but it shall just be be like the dust of the earth and come crumbling down and not be able to impact me, because you know who I am. I am a child of the Most High God, and I am being upheld in the freeness of His hand and by His Spirit, by His Spirit. You know, and so we just thank God that He wants to, wherever we are, if you are in a place where you're lackluster, where you don't have the joy, you know, you don't understand the pandemic, you don't understand what has happened, the loss of jobs, you know, all of the things that come with it, the loss of family members, the loss of loved ones, and it's like, but God, how could you allow this to happen? But He is yet God. He's yet sovereign. He's yet on the throne. We just have to come to Him with exactly how we feel, because He already knows the innermost workings of what we feel, and allow Him to come in and cleanse and purge those areas and to restore unto us the joy of our salvation, because it is truly our salvation by Jesus. It is a joyful thing, and it's not a joyful one-time event. It's a joyful thing that is to carry us throughout our entire time on this earth. And even though things happen and things occur, but yet and still God's love does not change. His mercy and His loving kindness, it does not change. It is there for us at all times. And we just thank God for that. We thank God that we have a rock that we can stand on. We thank God that we have a place that we can run into and we can be saved. We thank God for all of His words that are true, because He is not a man that He shall lie, and every word will come back and fulfill, that nothing will return unto Him void, but it will come forth and be fulfilled. Even though we can't see it at this time, we can trust on His word to know that it will occur. And so we can, and that's what it means to have the joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, because we can have joy and we can have strength in Him because of all of who He is. Not in who we are, but all of who He is. Reverend Ray, you have something you can jump in?
Amen. No, I'm just enjoying the word here. You know, I'm really enjoying it. And, I'm sharing it on social media and everything. This is definitely a word for the time and for the season and all that's going on right now. I'm enjoying this, Reverend Robert. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, bless God. Bless God. So when we look at Psalm 51, I've made restore unto me the joy of thy salvation as the theme of Psalm 51. Restore right. unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, because it's truly it's all about God. We sometimes yeah. make it about other things, but it's truly all about God. And that's sometimes when we lose our focus to it being about other things, we lose the joy, begin to ebb away. You see, because it is only joy we're in God. We can only have the fullness, the true meaning of joy can only be found in God. The things of the world, they are fleeting. I mean, you can't even grasp it. You can't even hold on to it before it's gone. But the joy of the Lord. So if any of us are at that place on this night where we're feeling lackluster, we don't have the excitement for God, we don't have the excitement of the salvation, you know, that new thing that we had with Him when He came and He accepted us as our children and we acknowledged Him as our God, and the joy that we had where we just wanted to tell everybody, you know, how light we felt and how hungry we were for Him. You know, it's like, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the hunger for your word. Restore unto me that time that I just want to sit and meditate with you, Lord God. Restore unto me to that place where we fell in love, Lord God. Restore unto me so that we can take these walks through the garden like we used to, God, that at any point in time during the course of my day, you drop something in my spirit and it's so exciting. exciting and it's so nutrient. Just, God, restore all of that unto me. Restore me, oh God. Give me that joy. Give me the joy of knowing your strength, the joy of knowing your power, the joy of knowing that you will never leave me nor forsake me, the joy of knowing, Lord God, that you are my present help at any time, Lord God. Restore unto me the joy that I know that you are my keeper, Lord God, that you are a refuge, Lord God, unto me, that, Father, that you are the sole authority for my life, Lord God. Restore that unto me. Restore unto me that you are my comforter, Lord God, so that I can enter into your peace and enter into your rest, Lord God. Restore all of that unto me, Lord God. Restore my faith in you, Lord God, that truly, Lord God, that I can just be steadfast, unmovable, Lord God, in who you are, regardless of what everything looks like, Lord God, but just restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen. Reverend Ray, I'm going to give it over to you for any last words and to close us out in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin. What an awesome word you've been listening to on Christian Speak Talk Radio. The broadcast today has been Friday Night Joy with myself, Reverend Ray, and Reverend Robert White. Man, what an awesome word. Restore the joy of the Lord. Restore. Amen. I just really love that. I pray that you would share this particular broadcast with others. Amen. You can listen to us through the different social media sites. Facebook and Twitter, amen. And you can also go to our website, onechristianspeak.com. Thank you, Reverend Robin. That was an awesome word. Let's go ahead and close out in prayer. Father God, we come today that you, Lord Jesus, will begin to restore the joy of the Lord in your people, Lord, all across the world, every nationality, Lord, you're in the churches, God, in the pulpits, God, Lord Jesus, God, even the in leadership, the pastors and the bishops and the apostles, Lord Jesus, and the evangelists and the prophets and the teachers, Lord, begin to restore the joy of the Lord in your people, God, that we might begin to seek after the things of you, that we might truly be sought, light, and power that is designed, Lord Jesus, so the world might see you, Lord Jesus, so that the world might know that you died on the cross for our sins. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with all your might and your glory. You shift the atmosphere. You decide what happens next, Lord Jesus. You have the final answer on all things, Lord Jesus. We need your joy, Lord Jesus. We need you today, Holy Spirit, to bring your joy to us, Lord Jesus. Allow us to know that the joy never was always there. But sometimes we may have gotten weary and well-doing. But now, Lord Jesus, because of the price that was paid, our joy can be restored, Lord Jesus. Our joy can be restored unto our salvation because of what you did, Lord. And we are grateful for it. We are pleased with it. We are happy for it, God. We rejoice in it within ourselves, Lord Jesus. And because of that, Lord Jesus, the joy that you have given us is being fulfilled, Lord Jesus. That we are stronger, that we are bolder, and we are well able, God, to stand whatever the trials and tribulations that come our way. We're well able, God, because of the joy that has been restored to you, restored to us, because of the joy that was paid for at the cross, because of the joy, your joy, Jesus. We're able, Lord Jesus, to spread the gospel unto all the world, to preach in season and out season, to tell a dying world that all about the love that you have for us. We are thankful, God, for the word that came forth today, God. We are thankful, God, for the pouring out of the gospel of Jesus of Christ, Lord Jesus. That we don't have to be weak, but when we're weak, we are strong because of you, Jesus. So remind us, Lord Jesus, in those midnight hours and when the storms of life come, Lord Jesus, and the wind be blowing, Lord Jesus, that we are anchored in you. Remind us, Lord Jesus, that when they say nay and they want to do things to hurt us or to harm us, because of the color of our skin, or they want to do things that harm them because we don't agree with what's going on, Lord Jesus. Allow us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is with us, God. Allow us to not be weary and well-doing, God, but to stand still and be strong, Lord Jesus. And stand, Lord Jesus, and know that you got the battle is not ours, but it is yours, Lord Jesus. Allow us to see that there will be more with us than those that be in the world. Open up our eyes, Lord Jesus, that we might continue to be strong in the power of your might. We will forever give you all the glory, all the power, and all the honor. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Restoring the joy of the Lord, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Reverend Robert, for that awesome word. Amen. And again, everyone, I want to thank you for listening. Wherever you might be and stuff, there, keep on praying. Don't give up. Hold on. You know, hold on, and hold on to God's unchanging hand. Know that he loves you. He loves you. Amen. A great price is paid, amen, for such a time as this. So we have to be able to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Thank you much, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you, Reverend Robin. God bless.
Bless.